Supreme Pranam,
आप सभी का स्वागत है.
In the name of our beloved Gurudev, Sri Sri Paramahansa Yogananda Ji, I extend a loving greeting and a warm welcome to all of you here in our beautiful Dhyan Mandir, as well as to those of you who are joining us from our other YSS ashrams, Kendras and Mandalis, and so many of you who are joining us from all parts of the world. It is a deep joy to be with you on this last day of our Sarana Sangam. We know that it is our blessed Gurudev who inspired these gatherings of devotees. And while our Guru is not with us in physical form, we know that he has left us with a very precious gift, his ever-living presence. And his Yogoda Satsanga Society of India and Self-Realization Fellowship in America, those blessed societies through which his soul-liberating teachings are available to souls everywhere. We've spent such a beautiful 3 days together, isn't it?
Yes.
Chanting to God, praying to God, and most importantly, communing with that divine beloved of our souls. And in response to our humble heart offerings, I'm sure that each one of us has felt divine love filling our hearts and inundating our consciousness. And whether we realize it or not, a beautiful transformation has taken place, a hastening, a quickening of your soul evolution has occurred. And I say this very sincerely because those sannyasinis, sannyasis, brahmacharis, brahmacharinis who have spent this time with you see that change. We see it in your eyes, in your glowing faces, in your joyous smiles. And what is reflected there is the beauty of your soul. And that's where we all want to live, in soul consciousness. And why is that? Because this weekend we have concentrated on the very core of our Guru's sacred teachings. We have practiced and applied the sacred science of Kriya Yoga meditation, isn't it? And why have we done this? To fulfill the purpose and goal of yoga. And our blessed Guru has very beautifully defined that for us when he said, the purpose and goal of yoga is to regain that lost paradise of soul consciousness by which man knows that he is and ever has been one with spirit. That is the goal. And by the specific practice of the sacred science of Kriya Yoga, we can regain that lost paradise of soul consciousness. And we can also, by reclaiming our divine birthright, we can free ourselves from the suffering and the fear that this world of inconstancies imposes upon us and find safety in changeless spirit. That is what is constant. Spirit never changes, and we never change if we are in soul consciousness. We are calm and even at all times. And this is what our Kriya practice can impart to us. In the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Sri Krishna gives us the simplest and the most profound counsel on how to accomplish this. He said, even a little practice of this religious rite will save you from dire fear. And that religious rite is Kriya Yoga meditation. And while our worldly challenges will not automatically disappear, the fear and the vulnerability that often accompanies them will be replaced by what? Inner peace that anchors us when life situations threaten to throw us off balance. And you may find, as I do, that the more anchored we are in spirit, the more anchored we are in our true nature, in soul consciousness, the less we worry. And we find an inner resilience, a strength that enables us to take our challenges in our stride without being shaken by them. All right, so now let's step back momentarily and view this world that we live in, because our great gurus have told us that as the world passes into these ascending ages, we are in Dwapara Yuga, it's an ascending age, that there is a greater awakening of spiritual consciousness, of longing for truth, for understanding. And we see this everywhere, isn't it? We see people more and more turning to yoga, to meditation. And to serve the soul need of awakening souls, the divine deemed it was time for a line of God-realized gurus to incarnate for the purpose of helping those souls and helping humanity find the answers. Last week we were in Varanasi, the oldest and holiest city on earth, having traveled there on pilgrimage to pay homage to one of those God-realized gurus, Sri Sri Lahiri Mahashaya. And we know that he is the great harbinger of Kriya Yoga, who lived there on Madhupuran Lane until his passing, his Mahasamadhi in 1864. I'm going to read to you from my travel diary. Though we were unable to enter the sacred shrine, we lit candles and flowers at the foot of the doorway and reverently offered our pranam and our prayers. Our group spent time there in silent meditation, immersed in the Master's overpowering presence. And sitting there, I imagined that through this very doorway, many illustrious saints, sadhus, and thousands of humble devotees flocked to the feet of the Master to receive initiation into the sacred science. And we know that in 1861, in a remote corner of this holy city, the celestial river of Kriya Yoga began to flow into the dusty haunts of men. So to initiate and impart the teachings of Kriya Yoga was the mission given to Lani Mahashaya by the great immortal Mahavatar Babaji when he initiated him. And he told him, the cries of many bewildered worldly men and women have not fallen unheard on the ears of the great ones. You have been chosen to bring spiritual solace through Kriya Yoga to numerous earnest seekers. The millions who are encumbered by family ties and heavy worldly duties will take new heart from you, a householder like themselves. You should guide them to understand that the highest yogic attainments are not barred to the family man. They are not barred to the family person, householder devotee. And now listen to what Gurudev tells us. He says, my guru and Param gurus, Swami Sri Yukteswar, Lani Mahashaya, and Mahavatar Babaji are the rishis of this present age. Masters who themselves are God-realized living scriptures. They have bequeathed to the world, along with a long-lost scientific technique of Kriya Yoga, a new revelation of the Holy Bhagavad Gita, relevant primarily to the science of yoga, and to Kriya Yoga in particular. What a declaration. And even though Guruji did not mention his name, we know that he too is one of those great rishis of this present age. Think about that. And we are witnesses to this. And we have been called to follow these God-realized saints, avatars, living scriptures. So let us be assured by this, that divine assistance is always with us. And let us be comforted that it is possible to live in this world with a consciousness that no matter what may occur in life, we are ever under the watchful gaze of these divine ones. We are protected. And this is the mindset that Gurudev wants us all to hold on to, no matter what we face. During a time of turmoil in the world, during Guruji's lifetime, a time similar to this time, Guruji said these words to give us the right perspective. He said, "This world will always have turmoil and trouble. What are you worried about? Go to the shelter of God, where the masters have gone, from whence they are watching and helping the world. You shall have safety forever, not only for yourselves, but for all those loved ones who have been entrusted to your care by our Lord and Father." All right? You are protected if you go to the shelter of God. So let us be anchored in that consciousness with unshakable faith. And here's a little bit more encouragement, because I think that most of us would agree that we cannot really know how far we have traveled already on the spiritual path, isn't it? And I remember on one occasion when our beloved Sri Mrinalini Mataji was reading to us from Guruji's lecture on the higher ages, and he was especially describing the highest age of Satya Yuga. And we know that in his book, The Holy Science, Swami Sri Yukteswarji describes these ages, these world cycles in the evolution of humankind. And Guruji was saying that Satya Yuga is the golden age of perfection, of truth, and enlightenment, when the people of that society understood that spiritual freedom was the purpose of life. And he said that in Satya Yuga, virtue reigns supreme, and the intelligence and the spiritual perception of those people was so highly evolved that they could easily comprehend all, including the mysteries of spirit. Now, I want you to reflect on this for a moment, because when we speak about Kriya Yoga later, this will be relevant. But I remember Mrinalini Ma once saying to me when I was talking with her, she said, yes, their intelligence was very keen and their spiritual perception was wide awake. And as I listened to her description of these higher ages, the thought occurred to me, somehow they seemed familiar to me. So the next day I asked Mrinalini Ma, "Do you think that perhaps some of us might have lived in those higher ages?" And she looked at me in almost disbelief, and she said, "My dear, We have been round and round and round many times, shaking her head like this. And I said, oh no, and here we are in this slow age again. And she said, no, no. Meaning I should not think that way and I should not judge myself spiritually. We cannot measure. And then she continued, she said, we have been given a golden opportunity in this life of having been drawn again to Guruji and to his Kriya Yoga teachings that come from those higher ages. We have received so much, isn't it? Let us be grateful and make the most of what we've been given in this lifetime. And I remember once in a satsang given by Swami Vishwanandaji, you know, we know that saying, this is a red letter day, which means it's a very momentous, very important, significant event. Well, this life is a red letter life. We have to make the most of it because it is so significant for us. And then she went on to say, besides, we do not know how far we've already traveled on the spiritual path. And indeed, we have been given so much, a rare gift from God in response to our prayers. A true guru who lovingly helps us awaken that beautiful soul divinity hidden within our heart and consciousness, and he helps us bring that to the fore. And who has given us the sacred science of God communion, Kriya Yoga. And about not knowing how far we've already traveled on the spiritual path, I'd like to share with you the wisdom of Swami Anandamoyi Ji, whom you know received direct training from Guruji. Because again, his words are very encouraging. He said, the mere fact that you were drawn to Kriya Yoga path, to the Kriya Yoga path, is evidence that you've been on your spiritual journey for more than just this one lifetime. Guruji said, you do not begin your search for God with Kriya Yoga. You end with Kriya Yoga. And he said, our guru also express that we can rise above the age in which we were born, and that you will also find those in this age who are living ahead of their time. So let me pause for a moment so we can take this in more fully, because here we are in Dwapara Yuga, and yet we have been given the teachings of the higher ages of Satya Yuga. And let's also reflect on this for a moment, because perhaps some of you may think, well, this is a bit too lofty to apply to me personally. So let me share another story that Swami Anandamoyi shared, because it illustrates how we should never judge ourselves spiritually or try to measure our spiritual development. He said, there was a man, a householder with a wife and children. He was not American. He was a really good devotee, a group leader who helped bring devotees on the path and so on. And he had had several counseling sessions with Guruji. And during the last convocation, when Guruji was still here physically, the man attended. And afterwards, he came to the mother center to say goodbye to Guruji. Anandamoyi Ji said, now I happened to be with Master. We were outside the entrance of the main building, and this very, very sweet, very devotional man said goodbye to the Master. And Guruji was very loving to him. Then the man left, and we watched him walk away. And then just before he went out of sight, Guruji called out once more, goodbye, and then he was gone. And when he was out of sight, Guruji said to me, this is his last incarnation. He doesn't have to come back anymore. And I was happy to hear that, of course, but I also knew that the man had not the slightest idea how far he had already traveled on the spiritual path. And you have not the slightest idea how far you have already traveled on the spiritual path. But he said, Guruji knows, and I encourage you to keep on making the effort. All right, so now the next point. Our practice of meditation should be something that we actually look forward to. And though the practice of Kriya Yoga is a devotional practice, it is also a unique and sacred science that has been given to us to hasten our soul's evolution. And this is why our gurus introduced this into the world at this time. And through its practice, it will enable us to transform our lives, wherein we will discover a whole new way of existence, a whole new way of being. And I'm sure that many of you can testify to the fact that when you meditate, when you practice Kriya, you feel deep peace. I see you shaking your heads. You feel happiness and joy. Not only right after meditation, but for some time afterwards, yes? You feel a joy at times bubbling up within, and you don't know where that happiness comes from. All right, so now if you will bear with me, I'm going to go into a little bit of the science of Kriya Yoga, because this technique is unique in two respects. Through its practice, we train the mind to withdraw the consciousness and mind to go within. And we direct it into the spine and brain to reunite our soul with all-pervading spirit. And I say reunite because when the soul takes birth, Guruji tells us that out of the seven chakras, in the astral spine, a life force descends to create the body and to feed the cells and every little part of our infant body. But when this creative force descends, our soul is swept downward, away from the throne of the thousand-petal lotus at the top of the head in the brain area, the crown chakra. It's swept away from our oneness with spirit. And so we forget our blissful nature, and our soul then becomes encased in this human form so that we can engage in the human drama. And then we experience delusion, suffering, and the dualities of Maya, finding no way out, isn't it? Simply put, Kriya Yoga is the way out. It is the doorway to soul consciousness, enabling us to reascend and reunite with spirit. And this is why it is the technique that is especially favored by the great yogis and rishis of ancient India and those hidden yogis in the Himalayan regions today, and why we should make the most of this sacred science. Because as we redirect that flow of life force through Kriya, through that pranayama practice into the spine and brain, and we revolve that life force up and down those chakras, this creates a powerful magnet within the spine that draws all the life force from the senses and from the entire nervous system within. And when we learn to direct that life force into the spine, it enters that sacred channel, the innermost spine, the Sushumna Nadi. And when this happens, the yogi experiences a state of God communion that is intoxicatingly blissful. So that is the first way that Kriya is unique. And now the second way, in addition to helping us have that blissful union with God, it's going to hasten our soul evolution, speed it up, so that we don't have to keep coming back again and again and again. We can find God. We can realize our oneness with God. We can live in soul consciousness in this very lifetime. I'm going to read to you something that's just remarkable that Guruji expresses and shares with us in several places in his teachings. Listen carefully, it's the science here. Your body is made up of 27,000 billion cells. He said, you are not alone. Every cell is like an intelligent being. You have to educate the dormant intelligence in each cell in order to know all there is to be known in this world. But you've never trained those cells. When you have revitalized the brain cells, he says, when the divine magnetism of God touches them, every cerebral cell becomes a vibrant brain. With these awakened brains, he says, all things will be apprehended by you. We have the opportunity to do this. Now, remember what I said earlier, that the beings in Satya Yuga could comprehend all. Their soul perception was fully awake. They understood the mysteries of spirit. Those beings had done the work, and they had evolved to that point, but we have been given a sacred science now wherein we can do this. Guruji continues, to accelerate this process of evolution, there is a method that the masterminds of India have taught of revolving specific vital currents around the spine and brain, and we know Kriya Yoga is that method. Through gradual and regular increase of the foolproof methods of Kriya, meaning the number of Kriyas that you practice, man's body becomes astrally transformed day by day, and finally is fit to express the infinite potentials of cosmic energy, of cosmic life. In 1 year of such a practice, even 20 minutes a day, you can get the result of many years of natural evolution. With the awakened brain cells from intelligent beings, vibrant with the joy of God, all knowledge can be had in this life. Eternity realized now. Awake, awake. He's not saying it here, but he's speaking of what? Cosmic consciousness, which is already inherent within us. The soul is very powerful, but it cannot express its majesty, its full potential in a limited human brain. The brain has to be awakened gradually, refined, made powerful enough to enable the soul to express itself. Every cell of the body and the brain needs to have its vibratory rate raised, uplifted, magnetized in order for the higher vibrations of soul consciousness to hold it. And when we practice Kriya in the spine is magnetized, and the freed life force that we've drawn inward, Guruji says, commingles and awakens with those chakras. It's awakening the chakras and releasing astral energy, astral light, and infinite potential. And this astral light makes the spine dynamic and the brain dynamic, feeding all of our cells with astral light, with divine light. And this light is the soul of the cells, and it talks to our cells. It has intelligence, and it says, you live by me, you live by light. In the golden ages, mankind lives primarily by this light. And for us, through our Kriya Yoga practice, through our communion with God, we are learning to awaken that soul light within us and allow it to guide us intuitively, guide us, so that we make the right decisions. And by living a life of dharmic righteousness, making wise choices that are in alignment with God's universal principles, we become carriers of that light. That is our responsibility as children of God, as disciples of these great masters, so that wherever we go and whatever we do, we spread that light to all who cross our path and whenever we pray for others. So that is the science of it. I hope you were able to follow. Next point is that Kriya Yoga meditation is not only for God communion, but is also for self-transformation. We must consciously attempt to purify unwanted behaviors so that they do not stand in the way of our realization of God. And there are four essential practices that will support this personal transformation if practiced regularly with continuity. We will have success. The first is regularity and perseverance in yoga meditation, and Patanjali refers to this as abhyasa. By regularity and continuity of going within, we gain the perception of our soul as a joyous, loving, creative being, because we reach that part of our nature that is unblemished, that is pure, that is peaceful. And we can establish ourselves in the tranquility of the soul. So perseverance in practice every day. And I was so deeply touched when meeting with some of you in counseling, the lady devotees, several of you who have been on the path for a long time said, I have never missed one day of my meditation. That is regularity. That is perseverance. That ensures success. The second essential practice is dispassion. Patanjali refers to this as vairagya. This is the act of disengaging the mind from all forms of sensory pleasures that are found in this world. And continuity in meditation gives us this dispassion. It unfolds within us so that the restless mind can detach from those unwanted pleasures, those unwanted desires that the world tries to impose on us, to offer to us. So you see, this is our protection. It protects us. Guruji gives the example of a young rebellious child who doesn't know any better and who needs to be protected and removed from a restless environment and placed instead, he said, in the company of calm friends. So your meditation is your protection. And I'm sure many of you can testify to the fact that you're not interested at all in worldly entertainment or pleasures, isn't it? More and more you're living a pure, pure unblemished life. So we must guard ourselves to live a life of purity, free from negative influences. And this is what Guruji means when he says to learn to live in the world, but be not of the world. The third essential practice is a strong desire toward active, conscious self-transformation. Patanjali refers to this as parinam. This means that we engage in the outer work of redesigning and refining the way we act and interact with one another. And this requires the cultivation of self-awareness, of self-monitoring, so that instead of allowing the ego to react emotionally to situations or to people, we can train it to respond from a calm center. Patanjali refers to yoga as yogas chitta vritti nirodha, the cessation of the whirlpool of ceaseless thoughts that arise in the mind, isn't it? It's so hard to calm the mind. But by Kriya Yoga meditation, the mind and the emotions can become calm and disturbed. It takes training, doesn't it? Practice. And in the process, we anchor ourselves in our true soul nature. And then automatically and naturally, we begin to express our soul qualities of calmness, of harmony, of intuitive insight. And that is what guides us. And we can listen to that divine inner guidance. We also become peacemakers, viewing situations and people with clarity, responding respectfully and clearly to the challenges that we face. And in all situations, we strive to make wise choices and to be peacemakers in alignment with right living. And most people do not even know that this is possible. So often what happens is when we're faced with a challenge, we involuntarily react emotionally, isn't it? We act out of those mental and emotional habits. These are samskaras that we brought over from a past life that shape us in this life. So that instead of viewing the situation objectively, we go about with guesswork and reacting, springing from a very clouded thought process, isn't it? We're not thinking clearly. It's guesswork. This is the result of an untrained mind, an unproductive approach that actually, what does it do? It hinders the situation. It doesn't help, does it? So the first step is to recognize through self-awareness and train the mind to watch for and refrain from these reactive responses because they stand in the way. So that with deep calmness, we can see the situation through a clear mental lens, a clear mental lens. And the deeper our communion with God, the more we'll be able to do this. And the more we do this, the more we mature spiritually. We are maturing. We are being anchored in soul consciousness. And this maturity, sometimes you think, well, how will I know if I'm maturing? It will show in your thoughts, in your feelings, in your actions, and in your interactions with others. We are at peace within. We're much more kind, tolerant, harmonious with others. We become a person of moral principles, a deeply spiritual person. So it's good to ask ourselves, how deeply am I committed to this self-awareness and self-restraint? How deeply am I committed to expressing the supreme goodness of my soul in my interactions with others? The answer will be revealed in our behavior. This is not a very pleasant subject, I know, but Guruji reminds us. Remember, you are sent on earth to destroy the bad tendencies that you brought over from previous lives. That's the work. And to avoid creating any more in your present incarnation so that you may find God. All right, now. All those samskars, all those memory grooves are recorded in the brain. And these unwanted habits rule our life and block our unfoldment. But the practice of Kriya Yoga re-architects our entire neurology. We systematically cleanse those limiting, undesirable tendencies. Guruji says, every time you meditate deeply on God, beneficial changes take place in the patterns of your brain. When you practice the self-realization techniques of meditation, especially Kriya Yoga, you will actually see the light of God baptizing you. If you can see God as light, immediately that light changes your brain cells. But even if you do not see the light, those changes are still taking place. Let me share a rather humorous story shared by Guruji that shows the effectiveness of Kriya. He said, in India, a man who had a bad temper came to me. He was a specialist in slapping his bosses when he lost his temper. He also lost one job after another. He would become so uncontrollably irate that he would throw at whoever bothered him anything that was handy. He asked me for help. I told him, the next time you get angry, count to 100 before you act. He tried it, but came back to me and said, I get angrier when I do that. While I'm counting, I'm blind with rage for having to wait so long. His case looked hopeless. Then I told him to practice Kriya Yoga with further instruction. After practicing your Kriya, think that the divine light is going into your brain, soothing it, calming your nerves, calming your emotions, wiping away all anger. I'm going to repeat that. After practicing your Kriya, think that the divine light is going into your brain, soothing it, calming your nerves, calming your emotions, wiping away all anger. One day, your temper tantrums will be gone. Not long after that, he came to me, and this time he said, "I am free from the habit of anger. I am so thankful." This is Guruji's nature. He said, "I decided to test him. I arranged for some boys to pick a quarrel with him. I hid myself in the park along the route where he used to pass regularly so that I could observe. The boys tried again and again to goad him into a fight, but he wouldn't respond. He kept his calmness." How beautiful. Through his practice of Kriya Yoga, he became established in that beautiful soul quality of calmness, and he was no longer the same. And when God's transforming touch is upon us, we will no longer be the same. We will no longer live and behave as an ordinary mortal, but as a child of God, a new consciousness will begin to emerge, and we will continue to grow spiritually. And I've talked with many of you, and you've all testified in one way or another that the more anchored you are in that inner calmness, the less you are bothered by outer situations and the less reactive you are. Because you've raised the threshold from ordinary human reactions to soul consciousness, and you are centered in that calmness, so you're no longer disturbed. So the practice of Kriya is the greatest gift that we can give to ourselves. And in addition, we have this beautiful promise from Guruji. He said, "Those who have Kriya have the great ones with them." Those who have Kriya have the great ones with them. He said, "None of you shall miss finding God who will seek him earnestly in spite of troubles, no matter whether I am here or away. I am your mountain of protection, guarding you from all storms." When the mountain will be removed, there will still be storms, but you must be strong enough to stand against them. Guru will be with you if you practice Kriya. Keep in tune that I may take you to him who is my father and your father. That attunement comes through this last essential practice, devotion and surrender to God and to his spokesperson, the Guru, Ishvara Pranidhana. The Guru is that greatest gift that God has given to us. The Lord says, "My child, recognize me in my spokesperson, my representative, the Guru." And as we surrender ourselves with childlike innocence, with purity, with full faith, following his instructions, lamb-like, we are assured that that relationship with the Guru is inseparable, it is unbreakable, and he remains aware of us at all times. He said, "I go through your soul. I go through your life. I know what you are thinking." That's how personal it is. So close, no distance, with us always. And year after year, as we experience how he supports us, how he's there to help us in every way, how he protects us, and how he imparts to us a portion of his own divine consciousness while removing our karma from us, so much he takes on our faith and our surrender to him deepen. Our faith deepens into this intuitive, shakable knowing that he's ready to intervene for us ever and always, both in our meditation as well as in our daily activities. So we must have faith and surrender to his grace. Guru Kripa Hi Kevala. Yes. The Guru's grace is our salvation. We need his grace always. Sri Gyana Mataji, who was one of Guruji's most advanced disciples, perceived the Guru's grace, his help, and she often expressed her sincere gratitude to him, writing to him, "My blessed master, yesterday morning when it was time for me to meditate, my mind was full of sad thoughts. I struggled, but it was impossible for me to drive them out. They mastered me. Then came your beautiful, powerful vibrations. They took firm hold of my being, and instantly I was free. I had that nameless joy, that joy without any because, and it stayed with me all day." Have you experienced something similar? Yes. And she would often express such exquisite devotion to the Guru. She wrote to him on one occasion, "Close your eyes as I read this. Take it in." She said, "Lord, bless me again with your golden touch before you leave. Touch me with your divine fire, taken from the altar of your meditation, that the smoldering embers of my devotion may burst into flames. For you are the vehicle of God to me. You are the vehicle of God to me. Without your blessing, I cannot succeed. With it, I cannot fail. Do not refuse my prayer demand. Do not refuse my prayer demand." So you see, beautiful example of devotion and surrender, because the Guru does intervene for us in so many ways, and he also helps us in our daily responsibilities. One of my favorite passages from the Gita, when the Lord promises to help us, is this one: "To those who meditate on me as their very own, ever united to me by incessant worship, I supply their deficiencies and make permanent their gain." So this is my story on how the grace of our Guru helped me deepen my faith in him. Some years ago, our revered Sri Manalini Mataji assigned a group of us monastics to a very long-term project, and it is still ongoing. And she asked us to report back to her periodically on the progress that we were making on this project. And even though I was one of the more senior members of that group, the others had far more experience than I did. Some of them even had training in this area, and I had zero. So Periodically, I would have doubts, and sometimes major doubts, as to how much I was going to be able to contribute to the project. So now remember the word doubts. Okay, remember the word doubts. So it was time for us to report back to Mrinalinima, and there was another nun and I on the team. And we were working, doing our best to prepare the report. And we're trying to be very, very thorough and detailed because Mrinalinima's mind was so keen that she always thought of something that we hadn't thought of. She'd always catch something we'd overlooked. So we naturally felt a little bit in need of God and Guru's help. And so I shared this promise with her, Lord Krishna's promise. To those who meditate on me as their very own, ever united to me by incessant worship, I supply their deficiencies and make permanent their gain. And she said, oh, that's perfect. Let's pray that. So we made it our mantra, but we shortened it. Oh, Lord, please supply our deficiencies. Please supply our deficiencies. So the day came for us to report back to Mrinalinima, and thankfully, everything went very well. But afterwards, Mrinalinima spoke to us very lovingly and very encouragingly, and this is what she said. Always remember, whenever you have doubts or question the direction in which you should go, stay in tune with God and Guru, and you will see they will supply your deficiencies. As Lord Krishna promised. To this day, I really can't describe how I felt that day, except that again and again, God and Guru proved to us that they keep their promises and that they can always be trusted and that we can always depend on their grace. The Guru is a manifestation of forgiveness. When he sees our defects, he does not condemn us. He smooths the way for us and helps us in every way. And he promised this. He said, this is when he knew he would leave his body. He said, I am not bound to this body. Someday when my body will be no more, I shall be happy to watch you from spirit. I shall see how you are growing spiritually and how this work of the gurus is unfolding. I am the ever-living spirit, and I shall be watching over you with a million eyes. So, dear ones, when you return to your homes, first thing in the morning, meditate. Immerse your consciousness in God. Make him your constant companion. Keep the thought of God uppermost in your consciousness. And then at night, once again, say to yourself, now I enter the great reality, establishing myself in my true soul nature. And once per week, try to have a long period of meditation and when you can be silent. And during that time, reflect and take stock on the pulse of your life. What direction is my life taking? And ask yourself this question, what am I becoming? What am I becoming? And that is the time to pray, Lord, let me be like you in all my ways. And above all, simply love God. And that is what is so beautiful about India and all of you, with your deep faith and devotion for God. It will be easy to make that relationship one of divine love. Remember, love is more powerful than law. And you can rise above the law of karma if you love God with all your heart. And in closing, let me share one of the greatest expressions of divine love and teaching from Bhagavan Sri Krishna to his beloved Arjuna and for all of us. Because in the end, supreme devotion and love and surrender to the Guru is where the teachings of the Gita lead us. Lord Krishna ended his entire Gita discourse to Arjuna with these words. Truth has been opened to thee, this truth of truths, the mystery more hid than any secret mystery. Meditate, and as thou wilt, then act. But then Lord Krishna pauses and conveys his final message to Arjuna, saying, Nay, take my last word, my utmost meaning have. Precious thou art to me. Listen, I tell thee for thy comfort this. Give me thy heart. Adore me, serve me. Cling in faith and love and reverence to me. So shalt thou come to me, I promise true, for thou art sweet to me. Forsaking all dharmas, meaning all lesser duties, fly to me alone, make me thy single refuge. I will free thy soul from all its sins. Be of good cheer. Sarvadharman parityaja, mamekam sharanam vraja, aham tva sarva papebhyo, mokshai shamima suchaha, mamekam sharanam vraja. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. May God and the great ones bless us all. Jai Guru.